Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 606 of the show. Still making some notes here. Appreciate you listening. Getting to the end of the year. I'm not sure if I'll do one next week. Ed is gone, but we pre-recorded an Ed Explains a Movie. Everybody loves those. He explained the movie White Christmas to me, a movie which I think I've seen, but when I was like 13, so like 80 years ago. And so it was very shocking to me, everything that occurred, the details of that movie. I think I'm going to run this as a two-parter. So two shows this week, this one where it's just me, kind of like a bonus Bri, except I'll just do the regular format alone, and then I'll make a part two tomorrow or whatever, a couple days from now. Nobody listens the week of anyway. It doesn't matter. There'll be two episodes. So, part A, part B of episode number 606. So exciting. I hope everybody's enjoying their holiday season. I haven't decorated because I live with my daughter. You know her. She comes on the show, Ryan Beckner. And she's like, Dad, can we get a real tree? Because I have like one of those tinsel trees, and not even like the good ones from the 60s, just like from Amazon. And it's like in the rafters of the garage. And I'm like, I didn't realize till like yesterday that Christmas is in like five. It's in 3 days now as I sit right here, it's the 22nd. So Christmas is in 3 days. And like, I ain't decorated, you know. I live in a condo apartment. I don't know. Like the place I lived before, I did it all. I used to do cocaine Christmas, figuratively, at that place. And I would do all pink and white lights. I've posted pictures of it before. Whatever. It's fine. But I had a bigger house with the yard and stuff. So there was more space to decorate. This place, you know, I could decorate the inside, but who's going to see it? Me? That's the point. Oh, yeah. Because this Ryan Beckner is like, can we get a real tree? And I'm like, yeah. But then she's not here to like help me decorate it. So what? I'm getting myself a real tree? It's confusing. But then, you know, I'm going to spend at least a little bit of time with my kids on Christmas and Christmas Eve. And then it's like the house isn't decorated. So where's all my sad dads? What's a sad dad to do? I mean, you're supposed to just play along. I don't know. I have been a single dad before, and I guess I decorated, but I always kind of do it last minute. So maybe I'll do it like for a couple days. Also, you know me, what's everybody know about me? I'm the leaving your decorations up too long police, right? So like, I like that shit down. I like, you know, there's a Christmas season. Okay. Some of you fucking psychos leave your Christmas tree up until March, and that you should be prosecuted for that. Here's another thing that happened. I was doing something with my kids. You know how I've accidentally murdered people? Me, Ed and I both here on the show. We'll talk about somebody, and then like 2 days later, they died. The one that comes to mind for me, it wasn't on this show, but it was around the show, and I talked about it here when I accidentally murdered Shifty Shellshock when I was like, when the great, what's his band? I can't remember now, what they're called. Anyway, there was, he was like, kind of like a quasi rapper dude from the 90s or early 2000s, I guess. And he did that song, Come, Come, My Lady, Butterfly Lady, Come, Come, My Lady. Do you remember that one? Anyway, that song came on, and what was the name of that band? Or you can't look it up because it'll drive me crazy. or I'd rather have it drive me crazy than cheat, because it'll come to me eventually, just once I'm not in front of a microphone. Anyway, I was talking about him and I was like, oh man, remember that guy? And I was talking to my ex-girlfriend about it and she's like, isn't he dead? And I'm like, I don't think so. And then like 2 days later, he died. So coincidence? I think not. You know, that's the kind of thing that happens. And so yesterday, I was explaining to the Beckner children my thesis on adult twins. And if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know how I feel about adult twins and how they should not be allowed out in public. You know, like they can exist, but they just can't come within 500 miles of each other. They have to be across state lines from each other, and they can't like go to the grocery store. And if they need to rendezvous at some point, it has to be in private. It can't be in public because they creep the rest of us out. And this is just a conversation I was having yesterday. And then today I was at the gym and I'm wrapping up. I'm doing some dumbbell rows, some of this last little assistance work at the end of the sesh. And I feel like a little skeeved out for some reason, which is not uncommon at the gym, but I'm like, ooh. It usually happens in the locker room where people are mayonnaising bread and or blending beverages, as I've reported here before. But this was a different kind of skeeve because I was in the greater part of the gym. And I look over and there's these two dudes with very long necks. And I'm like, it's crazy that there's going to be two dudes with long necks at the gym together. And I'm like, wait, they kind of have the same hair. Good God. They're fucking adult twins. And they came over and started doing incline dumbbells on the bench right next to me. Look, here's a picture. If you're watching this, if you're a Patreon person or YouTube, look, there's me and there's two adult twins over my shoulder. And so, look, I'm not saying, when was the last time you saw adult twins? Rarely do you see them because they heed my orders. They know about their skeeviness. So they're like, oh, we don't go in public because, you know, people are weirded out by us finishing each other's sentences and whatnot. Or there's an adult twin show on HGTV. And it's these two adult twins in Snohomish, PNW, Pacific Northwest, near Seattle. And they renovate and they flip homes. They're flippers. All shows on that channel are flipping homes and they're no different. But I couldn't tell that they were twins when I saw it the first time. I don't know if it's on anymore. I don't know what it's called. But I couldn't tell that they were twins because one of them goes dark hair. The other one goes blonde. And the dark haired one has bangs and glasses. And the other one, no bangs, no glasses. And so you got to look kind of closely. But then when you hear them talk and they're finishing each other's sentences and they have the same mannerisms. And also, I noticed one time while I was watching the show that one was right-handed and one was left-handed, which you know what that means. They're mirror image twins, which are the fucking weirdest kind. Mirror image twins? Ah, look it up. Like the Rogers brothers, Taylor and Tyler, the Major League Baseball pitchers who somehow end up on the same team sometimes. No, no, no. No mirror image twins, no adult twins. But if you're going to be adult twins, try to look different. And if you're going to be adult twins, try not to come near me at the gym. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, some people died this week. And a couple of these I needed to save for Ed Daly, but he's not going to be here for a while. And we can't be way behind on this kind of stuff because it's important. We know how much you guys count on us for this kind of stuff. So let's talk about some people who died. Oh, yeah. I haven't played this song in a while.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more. Mm-mm-mm. You won't smile. No more. You won't laugh no more. And you won't fuck no more.
Yeah, you won't fuck no more.
So dearly departed, we hope you rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Gil Gerard. TV's Buck Rogers. I don't know how he died. I think he might have had cancer. He was pretty fucking old. And he was so old, in fact, that I didn't know he was still alive. I ain't heard from the guy in a minute. So, like, put him in the category of dudes I thought I was still dead, that I thought were still dead. 82 years old. Gilbert Cyril Gerard. Now, there's a name. Cyril. Cyril Gerard might be one of my new pseudonyms. I have so many. Let's see. Oh, he was married from 79 to 87 and then 87 to 89. And then he was just bacheloring it up and just probably fucking. He has a son called Gib Gerard. Gil Gerard, he was on Buck Rogers in the 80s. And Buck Rogers, it was a little before my time. I sort of remember it from when I was a little kid. It was kind of like Star Wars-esque, but like not. There was robots and shit on it. I don't really remember. I do know Erin Gray was on it and she was wearing some skin tight shit and she was hot as fuck. So I imagine Gil Gerard, who was a babe, got her. There was all sorts of, like male babes on TV in the 80s. So like we've talked before, we just recently talked about the great, the $6 Million Man, Lee Horsley, but he's another one. Lee Horsley was like budget Magnum PI. He played a guy called Matt Houston, and he was just exactly like Magnum PI, just instead of in Hawaii, in Texas. He was a PI. He had a flashy car. He was called Matt Houston. It had same mustache. Exact. He was budget Magnum PI. Anyway, Lee Horsley was one of these guys. There was also Dan Tana. Robert Urich, you know, there's all these dudes that were just handsome ass dudes and they'd be in space kicking ass or they'd be, you know, they'd be a stuntman or a cop or whatever. PI, not a real job, by the way. Okay. Here's what a PI does. He's fat. He's a fat piece of shit that couldn't become a cop because he was too much of a fat piece of shit loser. So what he does is he gets insurance companies to give him money to follow people around that are claiming that they got injured on the job and they're collecting workman's comp and they can, and they're actually fine. And so that's what a PI does. A PI also will catch your wife having an affair. He'll catch her going to some, you know, doing like one of those, Chippendales clubs where they let the stripper have sex with them. I assume that's a PI would follow you to that. So that, like, that's what a PI really does. A TV PI is like solving crimes and shit. And that's bullshit. That doesn't really exist. Anyway, it was a big TV job back in the day. And Gil Gerard, he might have been a PI at some point, but he was also Buck Rogers. And he certainly got a piece of Erin Gray, which is a huge score for him. So he died happy. RIP Gil Gerard. Here's another one. Well, did you hear about this one? Greg Biffle. Greg Biffle, great name. A lot of great NASCAR names. Dick Trickle. Cole Trickle. What are some other ones? Oh, Sterling Marlin. Who could forget Sterling Marlin? Sterling Marlin. I believe Sterling Marlin is the guy that put the Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt, into the wall. Was he not? There was also Dale Earnhardt Jr. Later, there was a band called Dale Earnhardt Jr., which is a fucking great name for a band. But then I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. sued them and they just had to change their name to Jr. Kind of a good band, though. Anyway, Greg Biffle died. Small plane crash. Murked his whole family. Maybe hop a commercial flight. Like, I know you're rich as fuck from being on NASCAR. If you do NASCAR, you are rich as fuck. I don't know how. Or why it was like NASCAR had a moment. That moment is long past, but it still makes you rich. And this Greg Biffle, I don't think he was like a Winston Cup champion or whatever that cup's called now. The Monster Cup. What's, who knows? No one knows because no one watches it. Who gives a fuck? I do know that all those guys are tiny and they're all from North Carolina. And this Greg Biffle was no different. Very sad though, because, oh, and here's another thing. They'll have hot wives and he killed his hot wife in a small plane crash where I don't know if he was at the controls or what, but it was a fiery thing and it was sad. It's sad when people die in plane crashes. Here's the real sad one this week, and I hate to do this without Ed, because, you know, so both of us are so deeply entrenched in the world of The Wire, the television show The Wire. It takes place in Baltimore, of course. It's the greatest cop show, one of the greatest shows ever made. You know how, like, Jay Stu thinks Yellowstone is good? I mean, I've never seen Yellowstone, but here's one thing I know. It ain't good. I can tell you right now, it ain't fucking good. And if you think it's good, you don't know what good things are, because it isn't. It's soap opera. I could tell from a distance. I've never seen it, but I could see. I'm looking over here, and Yellowstone's over there. It's a soap opera, and it's lame. I'm not watching it. Anyway, The Wire is a fucking amazing show. It was so well written, and the characters were great, and the stories were just unbelievable, and it intertwined. You know, it told a bigger story about how all these things are connected, the media, the cops, the fucking drug dealers, and how this is a cyclical thing, and how, you know, no one's trying to make it better, and it's never going to get better because of the way we do policing and the way we don't fund inner cities. And that's just the way it is. And it's a beautifully told story. And in season two, they talk about how the drugs come into the country via the docks. And one of the dock workers was this dude named Ziggy, who had a big penis, and he was a little wild. And his dad, Frank Sabatka, ran the Longshoremen's Union. I don't need to tell you, or maybe I do. The Longshoremen's Union is very powerful, because if the Longshoremen's Union goes on strike, then no shit comes into the country. They take the shit off the boats and put it on trucks. And if there's nobody there hand taking the shit off the boats and putting it on trucks, then you're fucked. They need, you know, well, they use machines now, cranes, not the point. Longshoremen's Union's very powerful. Frank Sabatka ran the Longshoremen's Union. He ended up getting his because, look, you're taking bribes. He had the right intentions, but he was taking money to do illegal shit like steal cars and whatnot, and drugs, you know, looked the other way when drugs and hookers were coming in those containers. And his son was a kid named Ziggy Sabatka, played by the great and recently departed James Ransone, who we learned this weekend died apparently via his own hand. It's very sad. He was a fantastic actor. He was also in the sequel to It Chapter 2. He was just great. He was great in everything. Dynamic guy. And it's very sad that he died. And we're going to miss him. And I would encourage anybody to go back and watch The Wire. And you know what? I was a little lukewarm because on season two, my first go around with The Wire, I was like, season two. And then I rewatched it, and season two is fucking fantastic. The docs, the Greeks, all that shit. And Ziggy, James Ransone as Ziggy running with his buddy Pablo Shriver. You know, it's a fucking great season, and at least he leaves that legacy, which is, you know, I was affected by. And yes, it was a prosthetic penis that he showed when he was, because they'd get off work in the morning. And I love this. I love the Deer Hunter, where they get off work in the morning and they're going at like 6 a.m. and getting a shot and a beer. And it's like so weird, but it's also, that's America, right? You get a shot and a beer at 6 a.m. when you get off work at the mill or from the docks. So anyway, R.I.P. James Ransone. Honorable mention, Joran Vandersloot, who continues to live, and he continues to do murders, by the way. We got him on two murders at least, but you know he's done more for sure. Anyway, he tried to murder himself in a Peruvian jail cell. He tried to hang himself, but he survived it, and I think he's still alive. So he's, while not R.I.P.'d, you know, it's, I don't feel like Joran Vandersloot, a.k.a. the Sloot, is going to be around much longer. So look for that, Joran Vandersloot, to be dead soon. Additionally, also honorable mention, Keith Richards. Ooh, buddy. The unkillable Keith Richards. You know, like, what kind of world are we going to leave Keith Richards? There's a lot of memes and shit about Keith Richards. Well, Keith Richards is 82. And he did a lot of heroin. I think he still drinks like Jack Daniels and shit, which is, hey, whatever. He's a solid guitar player. He's in the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones been around a long time, but they're in their 80s now. There's only a couple of them left, and Keith Richards is probably going to die soon. They just can't. I think he was playing a solo show and he had to dip out at the end recently. And then the Stones were supposed to do another fucking world tour in 2026. They do the highest grossing tour of the year, if Taylor Swift's not touring, every single year, because they're the fucking Rolling Stones, and they still put on a show. It's crazy. But Keith Richards they've canceled their tour, which is, you know,
yeah.
Anyway, honorable mention, Keith Richards. I'm just going to predict he's not going to make it past Easter, but we'll see. Look, he's proven us wrong before. RIP eventually, Keith Richards. Okay, let's talk some sports. Oh, wait.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hands that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Okay, just a couple. You know, I've already talked for quite a while. I've already given you too much content soloing here, but there's a couple things here that I wanted to talk about. Dom Taylor kicked out of World Darts Championship after failing drugs test. Oh my God, he's got a tattoo of like the Tower of London on his forearm. And it's like, look, if you're getting tattoos of buildings, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a right way to do it. This is like one of those like fine line tattoos. Those don't last. That's going to just be a blob of shit after a while. Anyway, he's got one. He's also kind of got a military haircut, which is surprising. Appears to be a righty. It's funny that much like bowlers, these guys wear jerseys to do darts, and they have the same kind of jersey as a bowler would wear. They look interchangeable. They're those kind of jerseys that have the zipper neck, you know, like here, look, I have a button, my shirt buttons. Well, imagine that's a zipper, and you won't imagine it on me because I would never wear anything that stupid. Anyway, I want to know what kind of drugs get you disqualified from the World Darts Championship. So let's read it, shall we? Britain's Dom Taylor has been suspended from the World's Darts Championship after failing a drug test. The Darts Regulation Authority, get the fuck out of here, right? Who knew? Said on Friday, handing opponent Johnny Clayton, no H, a free pass to the third round. The DRA, the governing body of the Professional Darts Corporation, said Taylor returned an adverse analytical finding from a test conducted on 14 December, one day before the tournament got underway at Alexandra Palace. As a result of this, and in line with relevant DRA processes, Dom Taylor has been suspended from participating, blah, 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 this matter, disciplinary process. Who gives a fuck? What did he take? Taylor beat Oscar Lukasiewicz to move into the second round, and he was scheduled to face Clayton, blah, blah, blah. He was banned for a month. Oh, he did this last year, too. The suspension marks the second time Taylor has failed a drugs test. He was banned for a month by the DRA in January for a failed drugs test in November. The suspension came during the Players' Championship. Meanwhile, Josh Rock survived. Okay, who gives a fuck? They're not going to tell us. We got all the way down here to the end, and they don't tell us what kind of drugs he did. That's kind of bullshit. I imagine this is a drug of abuse situation, cocaine. I imagine this dude's British, and all British people do lots of cocaine, so I don't know why this is a big deal. Cocaine certainly would not make you a better dartser. And is there anything that could make you a better dartser? Maybe beta blockers or something, Xanax or something that calms you down, but like, so does Coors Light or, you know, whatever, Harp Ale or whatever they're drinking whatever lagers they're drinking over there at the World Darts Championship. I assume you can drink while you play, because drinking makes you, everyone knows drinking makes you better at darts, bowling, golf, pool, sports like that. So let this man live, Dom Taylor. Give this man a break. He's a fucking dartser for a living. Like, who gives a fuck what drugs he's on? There's certainly no, I mean, it's not like he's skinny as shit. It's not like he's on steroids. He also has a neck beard. He shaves it like right up to here. He's got a lined up neck thing, which I'm not into. Either way, you know, I side with Dom Taylor and anybody else that wants to do any kind of drugs that they want, anytime that they want, because, like, who gives a shit? We got bigger things to worry about. Okay. Secondly, another story. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've made clear. Oh, wait. I wanted to talk about. So there's another story. Did I not attach it? Hold the fuck on. It's on my phone because I sent it to Ed. Let's see here. Okay, wait. Oh my God, have I lost it? It's about LeBron James. You guys know I can't stand fucking LeBron James. And I don't know anybody that likes him. But this guy, LeBron James, there's stories coming out about what a piece of shit he was. And he is. And he is a huge piece of shit. Everybody knows that. But, oh yeah, so somebody wrote a book about him. And I'm not going to read a book about, I barely read books about people I do like. Yeah, I'm not going to read books about LeBron James, but I will read the excerpts. In a book about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, it's only fitting that one memorable scene involves a Hollywood star, Will Smith. Yaron Weitzman's latest book is entitled Hollywood Ending, The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers. He's ruined the Lakers, by the way. Suffice to say, the plot thickens when... Suffice to say, the plot thickens when Smith goes to the Lakers film room to speak to the team in 2022. 6 months had passed since Smith had slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. Where are we at on that? That was faked, right? Like, he just stuck his face right out there to get smacked. I don't know. Everything's bullshit. Who knows? Now, Smith was participating in a series of celebrity talks to the Lakers, an innovation brought in by general manager Rob Pelinka. He's going to get fired soon, thank God, because, look, the greatest organization in professional sports is the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's no argument. They're run the best. I mean, you know, you can be a huge bitch about it, whatever. They're doing it better, and everyone's going to catch up. A rising tide raises all boats, lifts all boats, whichever, however you say it. And the Dodgers are forcing everybody to run their organizations better. And now the guy that owns the Dodgers is a huge piece of shit. Don't get me wrong. He's a hedge fund dude. I'm not like going to defend a billionaire, but now he owns the Lakers. And you need your team to be owned by billionaires. Like, this is the business. You know, you got to get in bed with these guys. And now the same guy that owns the Dodgers owns the Lakers. And these guys are useless. Pelinka, useless. LeBron James, useless. Get rid of them. And one thing we know about these guys that run the Dodgers and now the Lakers is they don't fuck with people that aren't helping the bottom line. And this guy and this LeBron James, huge waste of space. And same with Rob Pelinka. So they're going to be gone soon. They'll do it, you know, quietly because they're classy. And so Rob Pelinka's gone. And this is the kind of shit that Rob Pelinka thinks is a good idea, by the way. And this is why he needs to be fired. 6 months had passed since Smith had slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. Now Smith was participating in a series of celebrity talks to the Lakers, an innovation brought in by general manager Rob Pelinka. According to the book, James asked Smith question after question until a scheduled half-hour visit had ballooned to nearly twice that amount, with fellow Laker Russell Westbrook, man, growing visibly frustrated, frowning in a team photo with Smith. You get to see the personal intra-office dynamics that impact the game that you don't always think about, Weitzman said of the scene. He notes that those who've read the expert seem to be cheering on Westbrook and latching on to the idea that it was LeBron's fault. LeBron was a phony. No shit. He points out that Westbrook has played for multiple NBA teams, and in LA, he was awful on the court, hard-headed, no willingness to adjust his game. As for James, he is the defining, not just basketball player, but athlete of my generation. I mean, I guess, says the 37-year-old Weitzman. What, I mean, hold on, what about Tom Brady? And I'm not a Tom Brady guy. But Tom Brady's a fucking winner. He's a team guy, and he's a fucking winner. And, like, and he plays in the biggest sport. Now, he wears a helmet and shit, and it's more of a team sport. Basketball, more of an individual sport. But that said, basketball is the one sport where if you have the best guy, you're probably going to win. That said, more of that said, LeBron James has a losing record in finals. So, like, he, and he's supposedly the best guy. So, if basketball is won by the team with the best guy more times than not, how come LeBron James lost more times than he won? That's just what I'm wondering. Also, he was always in the weaker conference. So, hey, whatever. Fuck LeBron James. LeBron James is also, hey, teacher, you forgot to give us the homework guy. That's what we're learning here. Like, he's kissing Will Smith's ass because he's a big phony faker, and so is Will Smith. And so he's sucking up to celebrity. And Will Smith is more famous than LeBron James. So LeBron James is like, oh, let me suck your dick, Will Smith, figuratively, whatever. I side with Russell Westbrook here. Fuck LeBron James. Also, one more thing: the Angels, the LA Angels. They remember when they murdered their pitcher. They're like one of their best pitchers, Tyler Skaggs, a few years ago in Texas. Turns out that their PR guy, boy, I tried to get a PR internship with the Angels back in the day, but it was like a year long. I don't know. You had to kind of know somebody. I really wish I would have gotten it although, look, I'm not a downers guy. These guys are fucking apparently popping pills left and right. That's not my thing. So I would be fine. But their PR guy, who probably was like an intern after I would have been in it, after I attempted to be an intern, he ended up rising to the top. So they murdered this pitcher of theirs by providing him with fentanyl laced pills. The team did it. The team gave it. The team knew. And that came out in court that the team knew. And so they were, and then it went there. Then there was the team's real stupid. They're run by idiots. So they thought, well, let's go to trial. Let's have a trial about it so that everyone can find out that we knew that we were giving our players fentanyl. And they're like, cause you know, we could just pay the money and keep it a secret, or we could have a trial where everybody finds out and then pay the money anyway. So which would you choose? Well, that's what they did. They went to trial and then it went to jury. They went to, you know, they couldn't reach a settlement. And so they went through the whole trial and then they tried to paint this guy. They're like, oh, this, our pitcher, Tyler Skaggs, he was a real piece of shit drug addict, which is not going to go well with a jury. You know, he's dead. He's not there to defend himself. And you're trying to paint him as a piece of shit when he's proving his family attorneys are proving that you're a piece of shit, Artie Moreno, and the Angels are pieces of shit. And when we're talking about the best run organizations, we're talking about the Dodgers. When we're talking about by far the worst run organization in sports, we're talking about the LA Angels. They play in a dog shit football stadium. It's just sad. It's just sad. They haven't made the playoffs in like 12 years or something. And they murder their players. And they try to get out of paying people and shit. They're just real shitty. And so they were going to lose. So the jury was deliberating and they asked the judge a couple questions. And it was clear that, you know, which direction they were going. Sometimes you could tell by the questions they asked. And so then the Angels hastily settled. So another L for the Angels, which is great, and a win for the Skaggs family because, you know, they probably could have gotten more, but they would have been awarded more than they settled for. But the problem is then the Angels, who are well-known pieces of shit, would have appealed, you know, and this could have gone on for years and years. And so it was smart of the Skaggs family to settle, and I hope they're well taken care of. And I'm very sad that they lost their husband and son. Okay, let's do, oh, let's, I think there's a voicemail. Let's do a quick voicemail.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are useless. Shit.
So there's just one voicemail here. And I have to be honest, I can only, it just kind of gives me, I can just see like the beginning of what it says. So I can see the phone number. I can't recognize everybody's phone number. So I didn't recognize the phone numbers. And then this is just what it says in the preview of the transcript. It says, "Hey ballers, it's been anal sex." Let me say that for you one more time. "Hey ballers, it's been anal sex." And now I realize that means it's Ben 906 that called in, but Google Voice Translate or whatever, Google Voice transcription says it's been anal sex, which is fantastic. So we have to play it. Let's hear from old Ben 906.
"Hey ballers, it's Ben 906.
Hey buddy, Ben anal, so Ben
really
anal sex.
I'm not tied into Michigan. I mean, I kind of am, I kind of not. Yeah. I mean, I've got some people who really root for Michigan hard that I know. Yeah. And, you know, in talking to them in recent years, they just really weren't like about Sharon Moore.
Yeah.
Moore.
Yeah. I wonder why, not
matter anymore.
Yeah.
They just really like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did beat Ohio State. They like that.
Yeah.
But they just something about him. Like they never would come right out and say
the
it.
The blackness.
But they just didn't like the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, comparing to like Harbaugh, there's something that stood out that they just really didn't really care for.
Yeah,
I just could never get it out of them.
I'm with you.
Hey, keep it baller.
I'm with you. And look, this Sharon Moore, he was a transitional guy, right? When you're the guy after the guy, you're never going to be the guy. You're just going to be the guy after the guy. So look, and I believe you, Ben Anal Sex. I believe you. I think you're right that the Michiganders weren't into Sharon Moore's blackness. That's 100% I agree with. But also, he was fucking his assistants and trying to have foursomes with people and hitting up OnlyFans models from jail and shit. So like, he kind of earned his bad reputation. That's all I'll say. Now, two things can be true. Are Michigan fans probably kind of racist? Yeah. Are most football fans? Probably. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really follow it that closely, but I believe you 100%. But also, like, if you're the guy after the guy, you just take the money because you're going to get fired. If you're any kind of football coach, you're going to get fired. So get as much money as you can, get as much guaranteed, and wait till you're not the coach anymore to fuck your assistants. It's that simple. You know, there's not really much to it. Okay. Thank you, Ben Anal Sex. And finally, let's do some non-sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. 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 I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports. Non-sports. Non-sports segment.
Okay. Non-sports, the Coldplay Kiss Cam lady is on a redemption tour. She got a big, glowing woe is me write up in the, New York Times. And I don't care one way or the other. I just will say, I'm just looking at, I mean, I don't feel sorry for her, but also like, I'm, you know, it's kind of a bummer. She was just trying to fuck the boss or whatever. And, I will say this picture, she's got a little bit of Rocky Dennis going for her. She's got a lot of chin. I mean, so much chin and also a lot of cheekbones. I don't know, like, if she can get that shaved down or it looks, I think there's filler. Here's the problem. When you get filled up, it like makes, and you start looking like Waylon Flowers, madam. And this, she does kind of look like, she looks a little bit like Rocky Dennis and a little bit like Waylon Flowers, madam. And it looks like she could do some real fucking damage with that chin if she got too close to you. She could cut you up good. So be careful. She worked at somewhere called Astronomer, which I'd never heard of. Her boss was a billionaire and she was apparently fucking him. And that, and now she's real sad because she can't get another job. And she's sitting on what appears to be like a, I'm not sure about this couch. It looks expensive, but it's ugly. I don't know what, is this a hotel room? Is this her house? But she really wants our sympathy. And I don't care one way or the other. Everything just flashed before my eyes. Kristen Cabot recalls of the moment Chris Martin ruined her life at a Coldplay concert in July. Well, you were publicly in an embrace with a dude that was married to somebody else and who was also your boss. Like, you know, and maybe it was no big deal, but I don't know. But, you know, this is how notoriety goes. This is how it works. The moment in question, an embrace with Andy Byron, her married boss, was caught on a kiss cam filming the audience in Boston. Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy, Martin joked as the pair ducked and hid their faces. A 16-second clip filmed by another concert goer and posted to TikTok became one of the most viral videos of all time, receiving 150 million views within days. It rallied an online mob bent on destroying the... Well, hold on. No, it did not. It rallied an online mob bent on destroying the lives of Cabot and Byron, who... I mean, we're just... Who were widely assumed to have been caught cheating. Okay. I mean... I think you were. Cabot, 53, who had never spoken publicly about her ordeal until now, in an interview with the Times, the mother of two says the embrace was the first time she and Byron had been physically affectionate. Well, come on. Both of them, she says, were amicably separated from their spouses. I could have been struck by lightning. I could have won the lottery, or this could have happened. She says the fact that the intimate moment was broadcast to a stadium of 50,000 people before being watched and analyzed by millions more on social media. The attention may have been fair, Cabot reasoned to herself, had she been famous or a high profile figure, but I'm not some celebrity. I'm just a mom from New Hampshire. She says, even if I did have an affair, it's not anybody's business. It's true, I know, but like the guy's a billionaire. You know, if you had just been regular people, nobody would have cared. But the dude's some kind of billionaire douche and, you know, that's going to make headlines. Sorry, it's a viral thing, you know, and that's just how it goes. Also, I went to New Hampshire one time and not that long ago and I was like staying in a hotel. And I'd never been there before. And I was like, oh, let's get in. And I was just like looking at a map and I'm like, oh, there's a beach right there. And I'm like, let's go get dinner by the beach. You know, I'm from a place with beaches and usually beaches are pretty nice places. And so I'm like, we can't go wrong there. Right. So I hopped in an Uber and, I took it to the beach and that was a mistake because they took me to a place called Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And it looked like the Angels PR staff was running the town because there were people that were like dope sick and like passed out like all over the boardwalk area. It was fucking cringe. It was terrifying. I was scared. So I don't know if she lives near there, but also there was also very quaint parts of New Hampshire. Very livable in my opinion, like nice old architecture, rolling lush green lawns. It was very beautiful New England. So I would go there again. Look, lady, I'm sorry that you look like Rocky Dennis. I'm sorry that you look also like Waylon Flowers, madam. I would go easy on the fillers. I'm sorry you can't get a job. I imagine we were sitting in the back of the stadium at the opposite end from the stage in the pitch black, just feeling totally anonymous in an arena of 50 to 60,000 people. She says, we were just dancing. I had a few high noons Andy was standing behind me and we were dancing and I grabbed him. Now, is Coldplay danceable music? Because it's awful music. I fucking hate it. Remember he did the Super Bowl? Almost said World Series. I'm not a Coldplay fan. I couldn't imagine. It does. It's so white, the music. It's so white and soulless. I can't imagine that it's danceable, but I will be honest, I'm not super familiar with their catalog other than their like hit song that they had 20 years ago. Okay. Do I have any more? Hold on. Was there two things? Oh, fuck. There is one more. Should I save it? No. Let's just talk about it, right? Oh, no. Instead, wait, I had one more. Well, I'll just read you the headline and I'll talk about, maybe I'll do a bonus bri this week and I'll talk about this because this is fucking great. And by great, tragic. Headline, man hurt, quote, hurting so much, end quote, after leaving girlfriend to freeze to death on a mountain. Ah, you know who's hurting worse? The lady you killed, buddy. Like, hey, honey, let's go. What do they call it? Avalanche? No. Alpining. Is that what it's called? I don't know. Let's go climb a mountain. But if things get shaky, don't worry. I'll be fine because I'll just leave you there and won't help you get down the mountain that I forced you to climb with me. Any guy that forces his girlfriend to do extreme hobbies is a huge piece of shit. And he's going to be like, she loved it. She wanted to be up there. No, she didn't. She was doing it for you, Thomas Plamberger. Okay, we'll talk about this more later because I want to read the whole thing. And feels terribly sorry for this lady. And this guy, you know, he deserves what he gets as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe we'll read it and I'll have a different opinion. Okay. Also, I came home today. And this was at my door, and it's from friend of the show, Fadoz. And I thought, and it's records. He told me, he's like, hey, what's your address? I want to send you some records. I love records, you know, like I love vinyl. I love listening to music. Fadoz is probably, Corey is probably like my favorite follow. I'm going to open this with my blade, my Beg knife, from my buddy Mark Beg. Look at this thing. You want one of these? You should buy one from him. Anyway, almost just accidentally. I shouldn't be allowed to have knives. I almost just accidentally sliced through the mic cable. Anyway, let's do an unboxing and let's see. I have no idea what's in here. I'm cutting this open with my knife. Again, I probably shouldn't be allowed to have it. I'm going to close the blade now. And we're going to see hold on. I need the blade again. Do I? He wrapped these up good because this guy's a fucking, look, Fadoz. Corey is a wreck. Oh my God, dude. There's a bunch of shit in here. Dude, he's a record collector and his Instagram is like my favorite because he just shows you what he's listening to and he's got fucking amazing taste in music. I told him he should have his own radio show. What's this? First, Lord Stitch and Heavy Friends. Look at this. Jimmy Page, John Bonham, Jeff Beck, Noel Redding, Nicky Hopkins. I've never heard of this record, but I know who all those guys are. This seems like pre-Yardbirds, maybe? This is insane. Lord Such and Heavy Friends. This is like a super group. I don't know anything about it. I fucking can't wait to listen to it. Fadoz just made me cool. Look, having this in my collection makes me fucking like 20% cooler than I was when I started this. I can't wait to get into this more. Oh, this. Okay, I have this one, but this is a great album. Black Pumas, Chronicles of a Diamond. Black Pumas are like, they're kind of like neo soul guys. They're fucking great. But I do have this record already. But look, I'll pass it on to somebody else. Thank you, Fadoz. The Church. Great band, great 80s band. This is sealed. See, this is Fadoz does something that a lot of record collectors do. They buy shit that they already have. This is a double album. I don't have this, but I do love The Church. And this is fucking great. Oh my God. I'm super stoked about that. What else? Also, Fadoz knows my taste. Oh, the Staple Singers. The Staple Singers are fucking amazing soul innovators, pioneers from the 70s on the Memphis Stax label. This is fucking, this is also sealed. These are all sealed. This is crazy. Thank you. Oh my God, Corey. Okay, what else? Is this boring? Not for me. Oh, the Stones. We're just talking about how Keith Richards is about to die. This is a classic. Holy shit, Stones. This is crazy. So this is Stones, Hot Rocks, which is, I think, like a greatest hits, 64 to 71. And I just opened it up, and there's handwritten. Somebody's handwritten the Hollies song, Distant Light. Life I've led, there never was a man so doggone mean. I was ebony black and my eyes were green. And I can tell you now that I'm very old. This is like, this is a fucking original pressing. Holy fucking shit. Thank you, Corey. Okay, hold on. There's a couple more in here and then I'll let you guys go. Who's this? Farm. I don't know this band, but it looks, look. Top guitar, heavy jammer, blues rock, private press album from Southern Illinois, 1971. I know I'm going to love, this is going to be my favorite one, I can tell you already, because I love that kind of music. Recorded the legendary Golden Voice Recording Studios. Oh my God. You'll like it if you like Quicksilver, Allman Brothers, Canned Heat, and 10 Years After. I like all that shit. Fuck. I can't wait. I'm going to listen to that right now. Oh my God. Link Wray. Link Wray sings and plays guitar. A lot of people don't know that Link Wray sang because of Rumble. Link Wray only had one lung, so he didn't sing that much because he was lungless. He only had one lung. So, he, you know, his breath control was kind of an issue. Oh, my. This is a fucking. I am so touched. This is fucking incredible. This is so cool. All of this stuff is so cool. Look, and one more. The Milk Carton Kids. This is a newer band. I don't know them, but if Corey likes them, I know they're good because he has great taste in music. And I can't wait to listen to this. Look, this is, I am touched. This made my Christmas. I'm about to send a personal note to my main man, Fadoz. And I just want to thank everybody that listens. You know, we're getting to the end of the year here. And, you know, sometimes I get, you know, I've talked about shutting down the show. I'll be honest. I've been doing the show 12 years. The audience has not grown at all. I'm talking to the same group of people that, and hey, look, I appreciate that most of you have stuck around for the last 12 years. And sometimes I get a little kind of bummed out because I think we're pretty funny, you know? I think that we could reach a wider audience. I think that there's a larger group of people that might think that what we're doing is pretty good. But I realize also that that's not going to happen. And that's okay. Because what I am heartened by, what I am touched by, is the relationships I've made via this show. And this is a great example. This fucking just, you know, I know this guy from when I was on the radio in Houston, Texas, and we just kind of keep in touch, and he makes fun of me on Twitter, and he's just a fucking great human being. And he, you know, he had too many records, and when it came time to give a few of them away, he thought of me. And that is, I cannot tell you how good that feels. And that kind of stuff happens all the time with the people that I've met via doing the show. So it's not just Corey. There's been a lot of you that have touched my life and made me feel special. And to all of you, I say thank you very much. I appreciate you. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode number 606 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Appreciate you. I love you. And I will see you next week.
CBLS. Hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcasts getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.